And then there must be some other parable, the parable of the wheat and tares. Now in the parable of the wheat and tares, there is a counterfeit. A man sowed good seed in his field, while men slept, the enemy sowed tares. Now the word here is Daniel. It is a useless wheat, and in its early stages, it resembles wheat. It looks like the real thing, but it's not. And when men slept, the enemy sowed tares. Now this may stand in two ways. To Paul to the Thessalonians, there it sleeps in the night, while men slept. Which would underline the sense and the subtlety in which the enemy was. And while men slept, the enemy sowed tares. It may, on the other hand, speak of the carelessness and the lack of watchfulness in relation to the sense. While I would draw a vast distinction between the men and the servant in this passage. It was while men slept, but it was the servant who came and said, Master, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it failed? Ah, he said, an enemy has done this. And the servant's intention was, wilt thou then if we go and gather up the tares? Ah, no, said the master. There's no remedying of the damage now until the end of the age. Let both grow together unto the harvest. Now, my mention of the end of the age here brings something to my mind. It is unfortunate that in Matthew 13 we have the word world six times. But that same word world covers two distinct Greek. Twice it means the world. Things kept secret from the foundation of the world. And secondly, the field is the world. But in the other four occasions, it is the age. The end of the age. The end of the world will not be at least 1,000 years after. It is the end of the age. The angel shall come to gather the tares and bind them in bundles with a view to buffing when the king is coming back to establish his kingdom. One will note that immediately following the dealing with the tares, then shall the righteous shine as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. The introduction of the millennial kingdom. But we come back to the question of the king. Wilt thou that we gather up the tears?
Aye. Let both grow together unto the hand.
Grow together where?
In the field. Now we must distinguish between the field and the church. Between the kingdom and the assembly.
Those who are the movements outside here, they allow good and bad together in their churches under the misinterpretation of this pastor.
Let both grow together unto the harvest. By the 11, we must distinguish between the kingdom and the church. Evil must be dealt with.
Either by the Lord himself or by his gathered people. No assembly can guarantee itself against the enemy of evil.
Do good roles to bring is vital. But if the assembly is responsible to the Lord to deal with evil, as soon as it is good.
And let both grow together until the harvest is in the field.
Paul within the chapter called him there. Do not be judged then that are within, then that are without, God judges. Let God go to that. It was beyond the skill of man to separate the real from the false. He thinks for a moment of this merely chapter in the act. Simon the sorcerer. He was a fraud. He was a tear in God's future. He looked real. He looked like the real thing. But his heart was not that. In the kind of God.
Let both grow together.
Both Romanism and Protestantism are sought to eradicate the tears from the wheat field and the faith in some of God's choices.
It's beyond me.
It's left until the end of the age and to the Lord, the reaper, the angel.
Now we come to the
parable, of the mustard.
This little insignificant thing, the smallest of all things. You remember the Lord said to the disciples, if you had faith
as a grain of mustard seed,
he would say to this mountain, be thou removed into the sea.
Faith as a grain of mustard.
Here is a little mustard seed which a man planted in his field.
The end of the field now is the field of the one.
He planted it. Small.
The power is a mustard seed.
And had it remained small, it would have remained powerful.
God desired and God designed that his work for that you'd be a powerful man.
Ah, those little devil disciples, ignorant and unlearned men, uninstructed men,
but they had a message that turned the world upside down.
Mark was out with weakness, was out with littleness,
but Mark is within the divine power. That is the
but this little seed, it sunk its roots deep into the earth.
Deeper, deeper, deeper.
And became a bone, and it grew into a tree.
It grew into a great tree.
It bark and produced great branches. And so this little seed has grown into a monstrosity.
A great tree producing great branches. Now a great tree in the scriptures is emblematic of a natural power, a political power. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the king of Assyria, Nebuchadnezzar, the largest head of gold, king of Babylon, each in their day were a great tree, a great.
And so here is a little mustard seed.
Grown, 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 and it produced great branches. Now look, in those very branches, the birds of the air, underneath. Now for the understanding of this, of course, we'll have to go back to the parable of the sowing seed. When the birds came and devoured the seed, and the Lord in his interpretation says, then cometh Satan, then cometh the devil, then cometh the wicked one, Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
And so, here of the birds, which at the beginning would gladly have devoured the sea,
and now found a haven and a refuge in the world. That which began so small for God has grown into a nation. The branch of Romanism, the branch of millennial Zionism, the branch of Spiritism, the branch of Presbyterianism, branch after branch, and 1,300 other states, they're all seen in this great tree. very trees are housed in some of the deadliest horrible wars. The birds of the dead, the birds of the earth, have found a lodgement in its branches. Now, with that in the back of our mind, we move into the fourth parable, the parable of Romero. Where a woman, notice in the fourth parable, there is a woman. Notice in the fourth chapter of Revelation 3, there is a woman. A woman took leaven and hid it in three measures of meal until the whole was leaven. Now, what is the meaning of that? Well, this is one of the parables that the Lord didn't intend it. So consequently, men have intended it. And they turned it upside down. This is their interpretation. But the leaven, that the meal, is the wicked heart of mankind. That the leaven is the gospel, which worketh secretly until the whole is leavened. They're looking for the conversion of the world. You know, there's nothing further from the truth of God. It's never the mind of God to convert the world. We have to evangelize the world that God is taking out of the nations that he cannot be. And we only need to come to the second epistles of the New Testament to see how the age is going to end. The end goal of the apostasy, the revelation of the man's sin, the damnable heresy of Peter's epistle, the heresies that destroy the souls of men. Young people tonight, know the brethren too. When you read of leaven in the book of God, it always and only indicates one thing, that it is evil in fact. And there is no exception to that from Genesis to Revelation, nor even in Matthew 13. So a woman took leaven. Secretly, the corrupt doctrine has infiltrated and is corrupting the pure view of God's truth. Now, he has spoken to our parables, and he saved the multitudes. And he took his disciples into the house. Now, let us stand with the multitude for a moment. We've heard of the parable of the sower. We've heard of the chaff, the mustard seed, the leaven. And you could only conclude that the work of God in us has been a failure. But Satan has triumphed and men have failed. And the seed that was sown only one fourth germinated and brought forth daring defeat. The tares have corrupted the wheat. The tree has grown into a monstrosity. The deal of God too has been corrupted with the measure of God. Ah, he takes his own into the house. And in the house, he becomes the instrument. My presence in the house, you get divine life. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. They shall drink of the rivers of thy measure, for with thee the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see. You remember Eliezer the servant in Genesis 24? It was in the house that he unfolded to the occupants the treasures of his master's home. The treasures of Isaac. It was in the house. And it's in the house still that divine life was built. The Lord took his disciples into the house. Now he says, you heard what I said out there, and you have come to the conclusion that the work of God in us has been a failure. It is that to share. Come and I'll show you the sweet little kettle. And in the house he speaks another three parts. The treasure, the parents, and the good flesh. Now he says, in spite of the failure of men, divine purpose will never be thwarted. And God is going to get out of this world all his eye and his heart ever rested upon. pleasure, sense, and appeal, and affair.
It may be that the pleasure which leaves is real.
Although Mr. Perry says, you know, you won't find Israel in the parables of Matthew 13, that Satan forgot his heart.
The pleasure may speak of Israel, or it may speak of scattered gold dust from one end of the field to another, indicating that there is all that God is going to get out of the field.
A man found pleasure. Now Matthew was the man who had every right to speak of pleasure. He sat at the right of custom.
He handled large finance.
He used his money worth that no other gospel uses.
When I come to
Mark, I get the foolish of stories, the night, the father, the pain. But when I come to Matthew, he's dealing with rarer, richer, more valuable coin.
He speaks of the talent, which was 60 times more valuable than the pound of loose coin. So he has every right to speak of treasure.
In chapter 2, he speaks of the worship of treasure.
In chapter 6, he speaks of the pilgrim's treasure,
where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also.
And now in chapter 13, he speaks of the merchant man's treasure.
And further down, he's going to speak of the householder's treasure. He speaks of treasure.
So, if the treasure may speak of Israel,
the term of great Christ speaks of the church.
It's another way of saying Christ loves the church and gave himself for that. I want to recall for a moment the prophecy of Caiaphas in John 11. It was expedient that one man should die for the nation.
Is that the treasure?
And not for that nation only, but that he might gather together in one all the children of God at the step of the Lord.
Is that the treasure?
Well, you see, what is the pair?
Where does the hymn writer, I found a pair of Jesus Christ, my heart was sinful joy.
He makes Christ the pair.
I wonder what he prayed for. He's a bankrupt when he was born. How did he buy it? Why do you tell them tonight? Christ is not the pair.
Christ is a merchant man who sold all that he had.
The pair of the only gem that is the product of a living being. You think that every other gem is mined from the bowels of man. He is one who comes from the sea, he is and it is the product of a living being. We can't escape to show that.
Then we come to the last one, the net with the winding up of a face.
Yes, the age. When the king comes back and establishes his kingdom. Now the Lord looks at this event.
Have you understood all these things?
Yea, Lord. Well, have you understood or not, I don't know.
But I ask you, have you understood all these things? I say I had a glimmer of light anyway.
I can see the beauty of the seven parables. I can see the four and the three.
I can see the outward failure in the human side and divine purpose in them. Have you understood all these things?
Yes. Such a one is like a householder who will take out of his treasure things new and old.
Every kingdom under heaven tonight has individuals who have studied carefully the constitution and laws of that kingdom
and consequently, they are able to instruct publicly and privately others concerning these things. And this is no way true concerning the kingdom of God.
While the lions and piracy have little time or little desire to stay in the kingdom of God,
there are individuals who have studied the constitution and the laws of divine truth.
And now they can teach publicly and privately
others along these lines.
To the Lord, if you understand these things, if you've taken them in, then you'll be able to give them out. You'll have a treasure out of which you will bring things new and old. What do you mean?
Well, he says, I've been telling you of this new mysterious character that the kingdom's going to take on, which character is now running its course, as long as the king is in heaven. You understand these things new. And what about the old? The old is the kingdom foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. The new is what I've been telling you. This new mysterious form it has taken on to the end of the age. But if you understand these things, you'll see that there's no difficulty between Old Testament prophecy and New Testament revelation. You will see the perfect balance. Because my dear brethren tonight, this new mysterious form is going to run till the end of the age, till Christ appears as King. And then, from that moment, the kingdom foretold in its Old Testament will be brought into being. The new is the kingdom in history. The old is the kingdom in manifestation. Be able to bring out of your treasure things new and old. Have you a treasure tonight? Every Christian should have a treasure. And we should all be putting into that treasure. When you read the word of God yourself and meditate upon it, when you get to Bible readings, when you come under the ministry of God's word, sure you will glean and gather something, handfuls, drops and puppets, to add to your little treasure. And if you have a treasure, you will be able to take out of it in worship. Matthew 2, they took out of their treasure gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But if there was no gold in it, and no frankincense in it, and no myrrh in it, they could never have taken it out and destroyed it from the blessed Lord. Ah, let it seem to you that we've all a treasure. And we'll be able to take out of that treasure in worship. Chapter 2. I will be able to take out of that treasure in Second chapter 13. Says Paul, the thing which thou hast heard from me, the same that thou unto faithful men, such shall have confidence to teach others of. And this is intended to be a propagating and a maintaining of apostolic truth, as it came from apostolic lips. So you and I are responsible in these closing days, individually, to have a treasure, and to add to that treasure from the book of God, so that we might have something that God is watching, and something that men is benefiting.